Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with God's timing as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 7. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
How often when we come to God are we looking and expecting for an immediate response? And if God doesn't speak in the first 5 minutes that I give him the opportunity, well, then I'll try something else, you know. After all, I've waited here for 5 minutes to give God a chance to talk to me. And yet here is Jeremiah waiting for 10 days to hear the word of the Lord. God's timing does not always coincide with mine. I so often look at a situation and I say, well, Lord, as I see it, you have just about 5 hours to take care of this situation. And if in the next 5 hours you don't do something, it's down the tubes. It's too late. So you got 5 hours to do your work, Lord. And then I come back. Say, well, Lord, 60 minutes. That's about all you've got. Lord, you've got about 5 minutes. Oh, Lord, you're too late. You had your chance. Too bad. Now I'm going to have to step in and do something, Lord, because you didn't make it. And there are so many cases where I was so certain that God missed his chance. And yet, I found out later that I was just ahead of God's schedule. I was going by my watch, and he was going by his eternal clock. And God worked, and God did it. And I thought, it's too late, he can't do it now. There have been times when I was sure, it's just too late, Lord. Oh, God, you could have done it. Why didn't you do it, Lord? Now it's too late. You know, oftentimes God delays the answers to prayer in order that he might give more. You remember when Hannah had gone with her husband Elkanah in order to offer their sacrifices unto the Lord. And Elkanah looked at her and he says, how come you're so depressed? She said, oh, your other wife and I have been having a real time. She said, you give me a son. He said, am I God that I can give you a son? The other wife was having lots of kids. She couldn't have any. That was a disgrace in that culture. And it was obvious that Elkanah loved her more than he did his other wife. I can see that polygamy would have all kinds of problems. Who can handle one? And these wives were at each other. And this other one was really getting to Hannah because she didn't have any children. And so she said, give me a son or I perish. And he said, am I God that I can give you a child? He said, but look, you've got me. Aren't I worth many sons to you? And it didn't work. She didn't answer him, but her silence said a lot. So when they came to the house of the Lord, she was in such bitterness over this whole issue that she was there on the temple steps, or on the steps, the temple wasn't built then, but there on the steps of the court, of the place of worship, tabernacle. And she was pouring out her soul to God in deep bitterness, and so much so that she wasn't even uttering the words. Just her mouth was moving, but she wasn't uttering the words. And Eli, the priest, came by and looked at her there in that, you know, just tense and strained condition. And he said, "Woman, you better leave the bottle alone. It'll take you to the bottom." She said, "I'm not drunk, sir. I'm not a woman of wine." She said, "My soul is bitterly grieved before God." And he said, "Go your way. God grant your request." Well, what she was praying was, "God, if you'll just give me a son, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life." Well, you see, the condition of Israel was so low that God couldn't find any man to lead the people. God needed a man. God couldn't find a man, so he had to find a woman in order to get a man. And he got her attention by closing up her womb and making her childless. And no doubt she had prayed many, many times that God would give her a child, take away the disgrace of her barrenness. But God waited. God delayed the answer. God was intending all the time to answer her prayer, but God needed a man. And so he delayed the answer until her prayer came into harmony with the will of God. "Lord, if you'll just give me a man child, I'll give him back to you." All right. Now you're in harmony with the purpose of God. And she bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. And he became one of the greatest leaders of Israel, leading them out of sure tragedy in that particular period of history, and became a marvelous prophet and priest of God. God delayed the prayer, answering the prayer in order that he might give more. God oftentimes does that for us. Jeremiah waited for 10 days, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And so he called Johanan and all of those captains that were with him, and all of the people together. They're down near Bethlehem. They're on their road towards Egypt. And he said unto them, "Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you." And again, here the idea of repent, it's a term that we use of God because we describe the actions of God in human terms. But we read that God is not a man, Deuteronomy, that he should repent. Hath he not spoken? Shall he not perform it? But yet, God is saying, I have changed from the evil, or I've completed the evil that I've purposed upon you, and I'm not going to bring any further evil, basically, is what God is saying. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. Now, don't be afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. You don't need to fear him. You are afraid of him, but you don't need to be afraid of him. For I will have mercy upon you, and I will give you mercy in his eyes, that he'll return you to the land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. So this is what was in the back of their minds in going to Egypt. We'll be able to escape war. We won't hear the sound of trumpet. That is the trumpets that are calling the troops to battle. We'll not have hunger. and there will we dwell. So their going to Egypt was a case of convenience. It was a peace at any price kind of a thing. We'll escape from war, the sound of the trumpets of war, and there we'll have ease. We'll eat bread and have plenty. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. If you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared will overtake you, and the famine of which you are afraid will follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you will die. So shall it be when the men that set their faces to go to Egypt to sojourn there, they shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and fury has been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you enter into Egypt. And you shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, go not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For you have dissembled in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray us unto the Lord our God, and our God, whatever our God says or declares to us, that we will do. You were deceitful. You were not telling the truth when you vowed to obey the voice of the Lord. And now I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence in the place whether you desire to go and sojourn. Now here is a classic example of proper counseling by a minister or by a pastor. As pastors, we really are not here to give you legal advice. Nor are we here to give you medical advice. Nor are we here to give you psychological counseling. We are here to give spiritual counseling to people and to talk to them concerning their spiritual problems, and that's all that we're qualified to do. And if a person comes for counsel and their problem is legal, then all we can do is send you to an attorney. If it's medical, we can send you to a doctor. If it's a deep psychological problem, then we can send you to a psychologist. We're here to counsel people on the spiritual things and to give to you the word of the Lord on spiritual issues. Now, we cannot force your action. All we can do is give you the alternatives. Here's what the Lord says about this. If you stay here, then this is what God is going to do for you, and this is what God has promised to do. If you go down there, then this is what is going to happen. And this is what the Lord says will happen if you go down there. And that's all we can do is lay out the alternatives from a spiritual standpoint and what the Word of God says about the alternatives. But you have to always make your own choice and own decision of what you are going to do. And really, we can't tell you what to do. All we can do is give you the word of the Lord and lay the alternatives before you, and then you make your decision on what you want to do. The choice is always yours. All we can do is lay out the choices and the result of the choices, and then you must decide which path you're going to take. So look how effectively Jeremiah did that. Now look, if you stay in the land, you don't need to be afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, because God will plant you here and God will be with you and he'll give you mercies, and you'll find mercies before Nebuchadnezzar and all, and you're going to prosper. You'll be blessed. If you go down to Egypt because you think that you can escape war down there, you think that you can have plenty of bread, and you think it's going to be well down there, the very things that you're trying to escape are going to follow you down there. The sword will follow you there. The famine will follow you there. war and the famine that you're worried about here. They'll follow you there and you'll die in Egypt. You'll never come back to the land again. You're going to perish in Egypt. It's all over if you go down there. That's it. It's over for you. And so he told them what the Lord had said. And the Lord just gave to them the various choices and the consequence of each choice. So it came to pass when Jeremiah was through speaking to all of the people, the words of Jehovah their God, then spake Azariah and Johanan and all of the proud men, saying to Jeremiah, "You're speaking falsely. Jehovah our God has not sent you to say, don't go to Egypt to dwell there." Now here they came and said, "Please pray to God. Oh, we beg you, pray to God for us, you know. Whatever God tells us, we'll do, whether it's good or evil. Oh, please, you know, make supplication to God." Now, Jeremiah lays it out to him and says, "Oh, you're lying. God didn't tell you to say that to us. But Baruch, that conspirator, he's the one that advised you to tell us this stuff in order that he might deliver us over as captives to the Babylonians, that they might put us to death and carry us away to Babylon." So Johanan and the captains of the forces of the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah, but they returned, and all these people that had returned from these nations that were with them, even the men, the women, the children, the king's daughters, and every person that Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, or Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, along with Jeremiah and Baruch. And it would seem, according to Josephus, that they forced Jeremiah to come, and Baruch. They sort of kidnapped them, took them by force. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus they came even to Tahpanhes. This, of course, to me is one of those sad and tragic scriptures. It ranks really as one of the most tragic of all of the passages in the Word of God. For it is always tragic when a man returns to that from which God has once delivered him. He goes back to Egypt. Egypt is a type of our life in sin, a life after the flesh and the bondage to our flesh. And whenever a man or a nation returns to that place from which God had once delivered them, that is always a sad and a tragic day. 900 years earlier, God had delivered their fathers out of the horrible, cruel oppression of their Egyptian slavery and bondage. And now, the sad day that they returned. The reason for their return? Fear. A lack of faith and trusting in God to sustain them in the land. And the fear of the retaliation of the Babylonians against them drove them back to Egypt. A lack of faith, which resulted in their disobedience. And so they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus they came to Tahpanhes. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tahpanhes, saying, "Take great stones in your hand and hide them in the clay that is in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of the Pharaoh's house there in Tahpanhes, in the sight of all of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he comes, He will smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as for death to death, and such as for captivity to captivity, and such as for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. And he shall array himself in the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garments, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. So God said, take these great stones and put them in this clay pit where they had taken out the clay to make the bricks, in the sight of all of the people, and say unto them, over the top of these stones, Nebuchadnezzar is going to build the pavilion of his court. And he's going to set right here, ruling over Egypt, destroying Egypt and their gods. You've come down here to escape Nebuchadnezzar, you're not going to escape him. You try to run from your problems, you can't run from your problems. God always wants us to face our problems with his strength and with his help, never to run. A person never successfully runs away from a problem. We need to deal with the issues squarely with the help of the Lord. God will give us the strength. God will give us the help.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 42 through 43 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you. May the anointing of God's Holy Spirit rest upon your life. And through His beauty, may your life shine forth. May God cause the fullness of His Spirit to rest upon you. And may your life be a strong testimony and a witness to those around of the grace and the love of our Lord. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Gather the kids together because The Word for Today would like to present a kids' book by Pastor Chuck called The Story of the Resurrection of Jesus. Each book contains an audio CD of Pastor Chuck reading this story, featuring the voice talents of Skip Heitzig.
But I will come back again on the third day.
Greg Laurie.
It's Jesus!
Hi, Peter.
Raul Reese.
See, it's really Jesus.
Gosh.
Cheryl Broderson.
The stone was rolled away. The tomb is empty.
And so many more. It's never too early to start reading to your children timeless biblical stories taught by Pastor Chuck. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or to see a sneak preview, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order this book in print or as a digital download. Again, the number to call is 800-272-9673.